faithfulness to the house of God. I'm glad we do have a God we serve. You see, my God's on the throne. The president may think he's got something on him, but he hadn't. He's still ruling. He's still reigning. Nothing caught him by surprise. There may be some things that catch you by surprise, but let me tell you what. He knows the ending before the beginning ever got cranked up. And he's got it all written down. And I'm glad my home's in heaven tonight. I'm glad to see y'all out on a Wednesday night. Praise God for what he's done for me in my life. I'm glad when he sees the blood, he'll pass over me. I thought about that when Brother Tim was reading that excerpt there in Exodus chapter number 12. If you look back in that passage of Scripture, you think about those Hebrew children. You remember that old firstborn. About the time that clock was about to strike midnight, he probably looked at his mama and looked at his daddy. He said, "Will it be enough?" And old daddy probably pulled out a toothpick out of his teeth. We're going to pick that lamb out that had eaten it all up. And he looked at his little son. He said, "I think it'll be enough. It got mama and daddy through, and it'll get you through." Thank God for the blood tonight. I'm glad it washes sinners clean. I stand here redeemed tonight because of the blood of Christ. And I praise him for that. If you have your Bible, turn in the book of Psalm, chapter number 104. The book of Psalm, chapter number 104. The Lord changed my mind on the message. He had given me a message, and about Monday night it went flat. And I said, "Well, Lord, I'll give it till Tuesday, and we'll see what happens then." And it just went flat. And I said, "Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do." And the Lord gave me a message out here probably 2 or 3 years ago, and I never have used it. He said, "Turn that over tonight. I want to deliver an exhortation to the church." We live in a day where people are depressed. The world's got them down. Things that are happening around them has got them so depressed. But I'm going to tell you what, the church is not on its way down tonight. It's on its way up. Psalm 104, verse number 1 says this. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of the chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministerings of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, and at thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys unto the place thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs unto the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He wardeth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and the earth for the service of man. He hath that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil that maketh his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night, Lord. Lord, I need your help tonight, Lord. I come before you, Lord, not having any ability within myself, Lord. Lord, if we hear from heaven, then, Lord, it'd be from you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd take the word of God tonight. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage some saint's heart that's out there, Lord, that's discouraged. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give me the words to say. Lord, that you speak through me tonight, Lord. I thank you for a good church to go to on a Wednesday night. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we find David. I say it's a psalm of David. I tried to figure out who wrote Psalm chapter number 104, but I looked at Psalm chapter 103, And it's got the same start in Psalm 103 as it does in Psalm 104. He starts out blessing the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. He carries it on down to the end of that chapter, and he says it again. He blesses the Lord. He says it again in Psalms 104. He says in verse 1, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And if you go down to the ending of that chapter, he ends that chapter up with blessing the Lord. I say it would be good for us to learn that we could bless the Lord. I thank you for His benefits tonight. I looked at Psalm 104, and I want us to look at one verse tonight. It's found in verse number 15. It says this, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil that maketh his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. I want us to look at that verse right there. And God gave me this a long time ago. I've looked in every commentary. I've looked in every book. And let me tell you what, you won't find anybody that gives any expository, anything on this verse right here. So I'm on my own tonight. I can only give you what the Lord's given me. And I tell you what, if you can take this to heart, it'll encourage your life. The psalmist David said, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. I want to say tonight you'll find three things in that chapter. You'll find, first of all, you'll find the wine there. Not only will you find wine mentioned in that chapter or in that verse, you'll find oil. And not only will you find oil mentioned there, you'll find bread. And all three of these things are essential to each one of our lives that's in this church tonight. I'm here to encourage some saint, some saved person that may be depressed. I've been studying old Elijah where he went before. If you'll study in 1 Kings chapter number 17, it says, go hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And in chapter number 18, it says, go show thyself to Ahab. And let me tell you, in the next chapter, you'll find Elijah sitting up under a juniper tree worrying that old Jezebel was going to take his life and God would even take his life from him. And he was so depressed. That's the way I find most Christians today. And I've been not long ago, reading in 1 John. He said that our joy should be full. I'm here tonight to tell you that the Christian life should be full of joy. There should be happiness. There should be some things coming out of us that the world does not have. There should be some things flowing out of us that only the God Himself can give to us. And He gave it to us the day that we got saved. David was expressing that. If you look in this chapter right here, I'll give you a little introduction. You'll see in the first part of that chapter, he gives the glory of His majesty, of all of His creation. As you go outside and you look around you and you see all the trees that God has created and you see all the lands that God has created, only one person could have done that, and that's God Himself. We didn't evolve from some monkey. We didn't have a big bang and it all come into existence. Let me tell you what, there was a God that spoke this thing into existence. And David was looking back on that and he was acknowledging God. And he said, the glory of His majesty hath created all the things that you see on the earth today. Not only that, you'll see the gifts that He gave to man. He gave him all the cattle of the field. He gave him all the waters of the field. And He gave man to dress the earth. Not only that, you'll see He gave the gladness of the man. And that's found down in verse number 15. I do want to say this tonight. In the first part of that verse, it says, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man. You say, what do you mean that? I want to say this. Wine, I want to say, first of all, you'll see the pictures that are represented in this story. You'll find here three things that are mentioned, and each one of these things are a picture of something that God is a little deeper. If you take this verse at face value, you may not understand what it's saying, but if you dig a little deeper, thank God for a King James Bible that we can dig down and take a verse and take a mine shaft and dig down, and there'll still be something in there. Let me tell you what, the further you dig with God, the more gold you'll find. I found that in my own life. The more I dig in my Bible, the more goals got down there. You see, God's book is full of treasures. It's full of truth. It's full of types. If you look at these three things that I mentioned here tonight, you'll see they're all symbols or types. They're pictures of something else. You'll see wine is a picture of salvation. You'll see not only wine is a picture of salvation, you'll find oil, which is a picture of the Spirit of God. And not only that, you'll find bread being mentioned here, which is a picture of the Scriptures. It's something that God has given us. Let me tell you what this Bible is. It's bread come down from heaven, manna from heaven. This thing right here, the Scriptures are bread tonight. Let me tell you, God's given it to us. And I want to say this about wine before I go any further. It said in wine that maketh glad the heart of man. I lived in a county growing up. There was only two dry counties in Alabama when I grew up. I never went into a Walmart and saw any beer in my hometown of Roanoke, Alabama. I never went into a gas station and saw a liquor bottle. It was not there. I never went into a restaurant and saw it in Randolph County, Alabama. There was only two counties in 2012 that were dry in the state of Alabama. My county was one of them. The only other dry county there was Clay County, which is neighboring to Randolph County, and that county is still dry today. I said all this to say this. I don't think God is happy with the way people use wine today. And I could preach a message tonight on alcohol. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And let me tell you, that's what the Bible says, not what I say. And I don't think it's right to take a drink, and I don't drink myself. But this is not a message about alcohol. I could preach on alcohol, and there's probably not enough. Our young folks need to know that there's something wrong with alcohol. You see, God never... You know what alcohol is? It's a fermentation. It's something that is rotten. Something that is decaying. Everything, you cannot produce alcohol from the natural thing that God has created. It's always from something dying. And the fermentation process of that dying, it puts off that alcohol. And I say this tonight to say this. Somebody may be in here struggling with alcohol. I think you ought to pray about it. And I've seen many people in my life struggle with this thing of alcohol. I've seen teenagers struggle with alcohol. There's teenagers that struggle with that. There's grown-ups that struggle with that. There's old, elderly folk that struggle with alcohol. Let me say this tonight. This thing goes a little deeper in this verse. A lot of people would take this verse right here and twist it around you and say, alcohol is all right. A little social drink's all you'll need. I remember I went to hear my brother preach his first message. You know what he preached on? He preached on alcohol. He said, broken hearts, broken homes. And that's what alcohol will always bring. Let me tell you what God said. He said, in wine that maketh glad the heart of man. Let me tell you what that wine is. That's a picture of salvation. That's a picture of the joy that salvation can bring. Let me tell you what, on April 8, 1998, God gave me some joy, and it was wrapped up in salvation. And I got it in the front row of Faith Baptist Church in Roanoke, Alabama, and He did something there for me. And He gave me a little bit of His wine. Not the wine this world will give you, but the wine that God will give you, which was joy. Unspeakable and full of glory, as the book of Peter said. You remember in the book of John, chapter number 2. Remember at the marriage of Cana of Galilee, you'll find Jesus Himself turned the water into wine. I heard a preacher say this. A guy went up to him in the church, said, well, Jesus turned the water into wine. Is it all right for me to take a drink? And the preacher said, if you can touch the water and turn it to wine, you can take a drink. See, let me tell you this about wine back in Jesus' day. You have to understand the customs of His day. Back then, the water was not pure as we have it here. It wasn't out of the natural hills of Rolling Springs, of the North Georgia mountains. Let me tell you, back over in His day, a lot of the water over there was contaminated and they could not drink it. And they would put a little bit of alcohol in it to pure it up. And Jesus knew their customs. And the people in the Bible, even today, there's not much drunkenness over in Jerusalem as there is here in America. They take wine, but they don't get drunk off of it because they don't drink because they're depressed and trying to drink their blues away. Let me tell you what they do. They do it because of different reasons, because their water is not pure as ours is. I'm here to say, wine that maketh glad the heart of man. It's a picture of salvation. I'm glad tonight I got a little joy. I got a little drink of His fountain. I'm glad His fountain will never run dry. You may be here tonight and your joy may be, you may not have much joy. And I find a lot of Christians in that way. Let me tell you how to get your joy back. Go back to the day He saved you. I may forget my birthday. I may forget the day I got married. I may forget a lot of y'all's birthday. I may even forget your name. There's one thing I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget the day that God Himself ran His hand into my life. And I tell you what, He changed my life. How do you know you got saved? He changed me. He gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's something this world can't take away. It's something we ought to teach our teenagers, that they can have joy unspeakable and full of glory tonight. They don't have to turn to the world's potions and the world's propaganda to have the joy that God tells us about. It's a picture. It's a picture of salvation. Not only that, look secondly. It said, an oil that maketh his face to shine. Oil that maketh his face to shine. You know what that is? That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. A picture of the Holy Spirit. You say, what do you mean by that? Oil was used for different things back in the days of the Bible. It was used for cooking. Some of you tonight may have used some oil and fried some chicken. Somebody say amen. You may have fried a squirrel. May have fried other things and used it for cooking. Another thing that oil was used for in Bible days, it was used for anointing. Anybody remember a little boy named David? You remember as old Samuel came there to Jesse and he said, I'm going to find me a Bethlehemite. And he looked at old David, and what did he do? He took a horn of oil and he poured it on the head of David and said, that's my chosen king over Israel. It was used for anointing. Not only was it used for anointing, it was used in soaps. A lot of the soaps you use today has oil in it, and that oil is to cleanse your body. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Oil, you remember the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter number 25? You remember the bridegroom went out, and 5 were foolish and 5 were wise, and they didn't. The 5 that were foolish, guess what they did not have? They did not have any oil. Somebody may be here tonight. You may be running low on oil. Let me tell you what, there's somebody here tonight, Jesus himself, he can fill you up with oil. I started thinking about this today. I thought about churches. I said this in my mind. I said, churches today have a lot of gas, but they don't have a lot of oil. Churches have a lot of gas. There's a lot of Christians that have a lot of gas, but they don't have a lot of oil. You see, that gas is good, but let me tell you what, if you ain't got any oil, it'll burn out quick. And we see that a lot today in churches across America. They have a lot of gas, but they don't have a lot of oil. Thank God for the oil of the Holy Ghost. I thank God we have oil around here. I thank Him we have pastors, Brother Mike, Brother Ken, that are full of oil. You know, and I'll tell you a story. I knew God had to be on this message when this guy was telling me this story. I went into the tire shop, and I was getting some work done on my truck. And here come a guy in there, and he said, he was talking to the owner of the store. He said, I need you to look at my car. He said, my son, he got a hold of the car, and he thought it was running low on transmission fluid. And he didn't know the difference in the transmission fluid and the oil. And what he did is he took that transmission fluid and he poured it into oil. You say, what did he do? That boy drove that car. He's coming back from Huntsville, Alabama. I was eavesdropping at that time. That's all right as long as God's in it. So I was trying to eavesdrop, and I said, I might need some of this used. But he said this. He poured it in the oil, and you know what he did? He put too much fluid in that oil. He said, I kid you not. And he said that my son came back from Huntsville, Alabama. He got about 100 miles from Huntsville, and guess what happened? He said he heard a boom. And his son got out and he stopped the car and he looked in it. And you know what had happened? It had blown that oil cap right off the motor. Not only did it blow the oil cap off the motor, you know what it did? It blowed all the gaskets out around the motor and the oil was shooting out of the motor. You know what I like about that? There's been a lot of oily Christians here in this church that they got full of oil and they blowed it out. And you know what it did? It splashed on me. They may be sitting over there, but they're splashing out over here on me. They may be sitting over there, and they're splashing out on me. The oil that maketh our face to shine. You see, it's a picture of oil in the Bible. Not only you'll see it's a picture of oil, it's a picture of bread. The Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. How many of you remember Jesus in Matthew chapter number 4? What the devil came to him and tempted him. Jesus was led of the Spirit out in the wilderness. You know what Jesus said? He said, the devil came to Jesus and tempted him. He said, thou be the Son of God, but make these stones into bread. You know what Jesus said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And 3 times, Jesus defeated the devil with what? The Scriptures. And let me tell you what Jesus could have done. Jesus could have turned that bread, that stone, into a Longhorn Steakhouse if he wanted to. There's no doubt in my mind. He could have turned it into a McDonald's. He could have turned it into Chick-fil-A. He could have turned it into a fish. He could have did anything he wanted to. And I got, and I believe that with all my heart, but he said this, "Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Let me tell you what we got here tonight. You've got some manna from heaven. You've got the Holy Scriptures. You've got something John the Baptist did not have. He didn't have the full canon of the Scriptures. He didn't have the 66 books. He didn't have all the Gospels when he preached. Repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All he had was a few Scriptures, and he knew that Jesus was Christ and Jesus was God. And he preached on the message. Let me tell you what, there's pictures in here, and you must understand the pictures here. You say, what do you mean by symbols and types in the Bible? And I'd encourage you to read your Bible, but there are types in there. If I were to say Roll Tide, some of y'all would think Alabama, wouldn't you? And some of you, if I said a bulldog, y'all think Georgia, wouldn't you? And if I said Stars and Stripes, you'd think of the American flag. You know what those are? It's symbols and types, and God uses them throughout His Word to teach us, and He gives us pictures. And David was painting a picture here in Psalm 104. He was saying, bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Somebody running weak in here tonight, let me tell you what, God's got bread tonight. He's got the Scriptures, and you can take them in, and it's just like sustenance for the soul. Secondly, not only you'll see the pictures that are representative, I'll say this, I noticed something about these three things that God had mentioned here. I noticed something about the wine. I noticed something about the oil. And I noticed something about the bread. Each one of them are involved in a process. You see, each one in their natural state are good. But they all need to have a process, something done to them to make them better. Each one of us in here tonight, you know what you're involved in? You're involved in a process. We was on our way to church tonight, and this song came on the radio. And you don't hear this a lot on the radio. He said, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." And I thought to myself, I'm involved in a process. You know what God's doing? He's turning you into Him. And He's doing it through a process. And you say, well, some of you have been saved some time, and some of you are further in a Christian life than others. But let me tell you what, it's all been a process. You see, you didn't get saved and turn into Jesus overnight. It's been a process. And I noticed these three things were all involved with the process. Number one, I noticed that all of them was involved in a process of cultivation. I remember as a kid, my granddaddy had a farm. And he probably plowed up probably 2 or 3 acres. And he'd plant things down there. And I'd watch him. He'd get on his tractor. And he'd go down those rows and he'd plow that garden. And I noticed this, granddaddy, you know what he'd do? He'd take certain things and he'd plant in certain places. He'd plant some corn here. He planted some purple hull peas. My fingers today are still purple from shelling purple hull peas. He'd have some tomatoes. He'd have some okra. He'd have some squash. And he planted certain things. Each one of these things were for a specific purpose. You see, each one of these things that came up, they just didn't come up because somebody shut their eyes and it happened. An olive tree... I was reading after one man, Thompson, the land in the book. He was a missionary to Syria and Palestine back in the 1950s. You know what he said about the olives that produce this oil? He said if a certain gardener was going out to plant an olive tree, he said there wouldn't be any return on his money for 7 to 10 years. That's a long time not to have any return on your money. So when he planted that olive tree, you know what he did? He made up his mind that that's what he was going to do for a long-term goal. That was his career. That was something he was going to pass down to somebody else. Oil, the olives. Not only that, I was reading after, you'll notice the grapes. People that plant grapes, you know what they did? They specifically set them out. Bread made by wheat, specifically set out. Each one of these that was involved in this process, the gardener sent out to do, and he grew these with careful consideration of what that fruit would yield. It was cultivated. Not only that, I noticed something different about each one of them. I noticed in this process that each one of them had to be cut, plucked, or it had to be shook to get that fruit off. Some of you in here tonight, you either been cut, you either been shook, or you've been plucked. Each one of these You think about it. The oil, you know what they do? I was reading after that man, that missionary to the Palestinians in Syria. You know what he said? He said, when you go out on and you look over those fields of olives and they got that oil all over them, he said the sun will come down and shine on them. It just looked like it was silver all over the place. Those olives will have so much oil on them dripping off of them because it was time to harvest. Not only that, and he said that they would do this. He said the people would come for miles to watch them shake that tree. And then he said this, and I love this right here. He said there'd be some poor people. He said that the ones that were shook off, you know, all the people, that's the ones that, you know, everybody wanted the ones that was easy to get and shook off. But he said the poor would come in after everybody then got all they wanted. And all those that didn't get shook off, there'd be some oil up there they could get down. I praise God tonight. I may not be the richest man in this place, and I'm probably not, and I never will be. But let me tell you what, I may be so poor, I may not have two nickels in my pocket to rub together. But thank God there's some oil I can reach up and get. And thank Him that He can spread that on me. They come for miles to watch them shake those trees and watch those olives fall off. Not only that, I noticed that grapes had to be cut off. Grapes just didn't come off. I remember working in the grocery store and we'd fool with those grapes and they'd come in. And back then we had that old wrapping machine and we'd get those boxes of grapes and they'd be about 20 grapes. Each case is what we call them. And down to a size where people would buy. Now they just throw them in bags. But back when I did it, we actually cut them down to size and we'd wrap them in that plastic and seal them and sell them, you know, in the grocery store. But each one of those grapes had to be carefully cut off. Not only that, you'll notice bread. When that wheat's harvested, they go out there and they cut that wheat down. And they shake them tares out of it. That stuff that nobody could use. And by the time I was reading after one man, he said that a bushel. I had to figure out how much a bushel of wheat was because I really didn't know. Most people believe it's 60 pounds today. Would make 73 one-pound loaves of bread. And I thought that was interesting. Something that started out so big would have to be cut down to size for God to use it. Each one of us in here, you know what should happen to you? God's cutting you down so that He can use you more. You see, in John chapter number 15, He said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And He said this, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. You know what that means? He cuts it down that it may bring forth what? More fruit. I remember Brother Dean preaching here one night on Wednesday night. He preached in Luke 15. You know what he said? He said, there's no fruit. There's fruit. There's more fruit. There's much fruit. And there's remaining fruit. Let me tell you what God wants us to do. He don't want us to be a no-fruit Christian. You say, well, how is He going to do that? There's going to have to be some cutting involved. Anywhere you got around Christ, there was always some cutting in the Bible. There was always some plucking. Plucked the beard right off his cheek. And there was always some shaking going on. Each one of us is involved in that process. John the Baptist said this. He said, I must decrease that He may increase. God's got a process going on in each one of our lives tonight. And that's for us to decrease. That, you know what we might do? That we may grow up into Him in all things. As Paul said it in the book of Ephesians. You'll see that there. And then I notice this. Not only was they cultivated and they was cut. Each one of these things, you look at the wine. You look at the oil. You look at the bread. I noticed that each one of these three things had to go through another process. And that process was this. They all had to be crushed. They all had to be crushed. I looked at that glass of wine and I said, and I went on the internet and I said, how many grapes would it take to make a glass of wine? And one guy said it'd probably take 100 to 150 grapes. But you know what they'd have to do to those grapes? They'd have to crush them down. And when they would make wine in the Bible days, they'd throw it into a big old vat and they'd go through it and mash on it with their feet. And you know what they do? By doing that process, they would crush every one of those grapes into a more usable product. Not only that, you'll see the oil. That Wesson oil that you got, you know what they did with it? They did the same process. They would take it and they would mash out those olives down flat and get all that oil out of them. Bread. They'd take it to a mill And they'd take it to that. They'd have what they call a millstone, and they'd grind that wheat up until it would come into flour, and it was a more usable product. Each one of these things was always involved in a process. And I got here to say this tonight. This is my last point. I want to say this. Not only you'll see the picture that I represented, the process of reduction, but you'll see, lastly, the products of the results. You see, I notice each one of these things all had a product that followed them. Look what it said. Look in our verse, Psalm chapter 104 and verse number 15. It says this, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil that maketh his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." Each one of those things was followed by a product. You see, God always, whatever He's given you, there's a process involved, but it always yields a product. When you got saved, you got saved like that, and you got a process, but it's going to reveal a product one day. There's generations that could be affected by you. There's little ones coming up downstairs that are product. Not that you done it, but God Himself did it. Bring up somebody in your footsteps because you stayed faithful and you stayed true to the house of God and you stayed true to God, the products. I want to say, first of all, the first product I see is there in the wine. It said, "If make it glad the heart of man." I want to say there's rejoicing, the product of rejoicing. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 8 says this, "Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls," the product of rejoicing. Well, you say, what does that word rejoice mean? Does it mean to sit there like a knot on a log? I say no. This is what I looked it up in the dictionary, and this is what it said. It said to make joyful. It said to gladden, to be lively, to exhilarate. I don't even know what some exhilarate means, to be happy. It means to be joyful. But let me tell you what, God wants us to rejoice. He did something for us that we did. Sometimes I can't even comprehend it, and I want to go back. The devil plays with my mind a lot, and I'll go back to the day that God saved me. You know what I'll do? It'll always bring joy. Brother Dana was right when he was here 3 weeks ago when he talked about what can fix everything, giving thanks. You know what? If you give thanks, you know what it'll always take you back to? It'll always take you back to the day God saved you. It'll always do that. And let me tell you, it's a product of rejoicing. Not only that, it's a product of, look at our second one there. And it said, "Oil that maketh his face to shine." You know what that is? That's a product of reflecting. How many of you remember the story of Moses? Exodus 20, Moses went up on Mount Sinai and he got the Ten Commandments, didn't he? And he come down off the mount and they had made him a molten calf of gold. And he broke the tablets. Brother Ken preached it Sunday morning. Exodus 34, he goes back up, doesn't he? And he receives the Ten Commandments the second time. When he come down off that mountain, he'd been up there for 40 days, 40 nights. He hadn't had any food. You know what he did? He come down off that mountain, and the children of God seen him, and he said his face shone. The Bible says it like this. Exodus chapter number 34 and verse number 29 says it like this way. It said, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hands, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that his skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." Let me say this. You've been around Jesus, people know it. You ain't got to tell them. You know why? Because it's a reflection. I looked up this thing of reflection. I thought I knew a lot about the eyes. I realized I didn't know much about it. God told me, I was reading about the eyes and how our eyes interpret objects that we see. You know what he said? He said, we really don't see the objects. He said, you see this. He said, you see the reflection of the light on the object. He said, you really see the reflection of the light. And I thought about this. If they turned out all the lights in here, we probably couldn't see very much, could we? But if we turn on the lights, we could see the reflection of objects. I thought about this. I want to reflect God. I want people to see God in me. Y'all remember the story of Peter and John? They went up to the temple and Acts chapter number 3 of the gate called Beautiful, and the lame man there for 38 years, and they laid him daily at the gate. And Peter said this, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And that boy got up and walked. And Peter reached down with his right hand and lifted him up. And then Acts chapter number 4, they go into the temple with the Sadducees and the high priest. And it says this in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived all that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let me tell you what, you get around Jesus, you'll reflect Him. You get around people that's in church, you know what you do? You reflect them. I want to reflect Him. I want to make my life where people can see me and reflect on Him. I remember an old baseball glove I had growing up. I tried to get my son to play with it, but he'd rather have a new one than have the old one that Daddy had. But it sat out in the barn. And I put it out there in that barn. It'd been on the shelf. And over time, if you don't do anything with leather, guess what it does? It gets hard, don't it? But I noticed this. I took some old oil, and I rubbed it on that old leather, and it began to get softer. And I'd say, son, throw me that ball. And I began to catch it. And you know what that oil began to do? It made that thing reflect. You see, you know what that picture of oil is? It made his face shone. You know what that glove began to do? It began to shine with all that oil. That old glove that my son thought, oh, it's unusable. It won't never catch a ball like these new ones they got out here. But guess what? It did just as good. And matter of fact, I didn't miss as many balls as he did. It's reflecting. It's a witness. People see God in you. They know when you've been with Jesus. See, these Sadducees and high priests, you know what they knew? They said, oh, Peter and John, they may be unlearned. They don't have all the college degrees. They might not have the education we got. But you know what they did? They took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. And lastly tonight, look down in our last part of our verse. It said, and bread, which strengthened man's heart. Let me tell you what that is. That's refreshing. It's a word that means strengthen. When I was in college, I took a class. It was a health class, and it was one of the most interesting class I ever took. We had a lady that taught our class, and she began to make us run. This was in college. I remember I was in Southern Union in Opelika, and they had a track right across the road at the high school, and that lady made me go over there and run around that track at least once or twice a week, and we did things. But she taught us this about this word, strengtheneth. The muscles in your body, you see these weightlifters, they began to lift weights and they began to try to build their body up and they began to pump that iron and they try to make their muscles bigger. She taught us this. She said, do you know how that works? She said, as those bodybuilders began to lift that weight and they began to run and they began to do all this exercise, the muscles in their body actually tears. And as that muscle begins to tear and that fibrous tissue, the sustenance that they would bring in, protein, the nutrients from their food, and all of that would be dispatched in their body through their cells into their bloodstream, and it would be dispatched to that muscle for restoration and for repair. And as that bodybuilder, as he would take that nutrients in and it would flow through those cells and go to those fibrous tissues and began to build it, she said this, it would make that muscle bigger. You know what you'd do tonight to get bigger? You've got to get smaller. See, it's all about being refreshed by the Word. And I'm closing down. I got one more thing. I know I said that just a minute ago, but one more thing. Look in this story. You see, it says, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil that maketh his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. And it brought me to one story in the Bible. Some of you are thinking right now, which story could that be? Over in Luke chapter number 10, there was a man that was contending with Jesus there that day. And he said, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy soul. And he said this, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And when he said that, there was a man that stood up and said, and the Bible said it this way, he was willing to justify himself. He said, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus said this. He said, there was a man that went down from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And that, if you don't know that road that they would have to take, it was a dark road. And nobody traveled that road at night. It was a dangerous road. And it said there were some thieves that come by and left that man half dead. And it said this, that a Levite come by and he passed by on the other side. And it said another guy come by, a priest, and he passed by on the other side. But they said there was a Samaritan that come by. And you know what he did? The Bible said this. He said he poured oil and he poured wine into his wounds. And he said he bound him up and took him to the inn and took him to the innkeeper to take care of him. You know what I see in Psalm 104 and chapter 104 and verse 15? I see the wine. I see the oil. I see the bread. You know what I find in that parable of the Good Samaritan? I see that oil being an antiseptic, that wine being an antibody. And I see that bread, that sustenance. Let me tell you what God's got for us. He's got us some sustenance. I'm going back to the day. I was talking about rejoicing, joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going back to the day God saved me when I was half dead. Anybody ever been half dead? And everybody walked by and said, I don't know that there's anything that I can do with him. There's nothing this world can do with him. And Jesus passes by and he takes you in and he saves your soul from hell. I stood there that day not having anybody care for me, but thank God the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the bishop of my soul passed by and he gave me a chance at eternal life because of oil and wine that he poured into a wound that would never have been healed by the world. But let me tell you what, his healing, I'm glad there's a sweet balm of Gilead flowing from the cross of Calvary tonight that can heal our wounds. Praise God for oil, wine, and bread tonight. Thank you for your attention tonight. But Mike.